It's your life.
We're recording
this? Yeah, we're recording this. This is a podcast. Hello, the internet, and welcome to the Daily Zeitgeist for Wednesday, October 11th. My name is Jack O'Brien. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes.
Hi, Miles.
Hi. I just want to let all the kids out there know, do not have hot Cheetos for breakfast. Not a good way to start your day.
Followed by black coffee?
Yeah, exactly.
Bad 1-2 punch. And we are thrilled to be joined by the hilarious Brandi Posey.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here.
I feel like we've got a real ticking time bomb situation happening on this podcast.
Right No. I'm clenched up tight.
He's been
all right.
He's been armed. I feel like the black coffee was like the arming mechanism to
we
the thing.
We should send you to North Korea.
Yeah, I lifted the cover that protects the switch. So I just, now you know I'm serious.
Yeah. Do you have your nuclear football?
Definitely have some kind of football.
All right, Brandi, we want our audience to be able to get to know you quickly. What is the weirdest thing in your recent Google searches?
Literally this morning, I was searching Peter Thiel blood.
For sale?
How do I get some of that blood in my veins?
Well, because I always forget. There's like a real like Ross and Rachel situation with whether or not he is or is not injecting the blood of youth into his veins to try to live forever.
And
I kind of forget every time. And I just like to Google just to see where that's at. And there's just conflicting news stories constantly. Like every other one just conflicts itself. It's amazing.
Wait, what's the latest?
The top of the search for Peter Thiel blood is, no, Peter Thiel is not harvesting the blood of the young. But then Peter Thiel inject himself with young people's blood. And then an anti-aging startup paying thousands of dollars for teen blood. And then someone is trying to discredit the story of Peter Thiel. It's just every other one.
Yeah. Wait, so
it's amazing.
What's the one saying no, denying the Peter Thiel story? Where's that coming from?
It's from TechCrunch.
Okay, so that makes sense. TechCrunch could destroy TechCrunch.
Right. Guy. So Peter Thiel is the guy who destroyed Gawker.
And cui bono,
put it
young
out of
people's
business.
Blood.
Yeah, right. So nobody on the internet is going to be like telling the truth about that. Okay, one thing that's overrated, one thing that's underrated, Brandi.
Okay, overrated barcades.
Oh wow.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Yep. I like it.
Coming out strong. Because here's the thing. They never have enough pinball machines that are working at the same time.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
Are we taking shots at specifically here? That one downtown?
No. I was in a barcade in Chicago. And there was like the Addams Family one, the Indiana Jones one, and one of the WWE ones, none of them were working. And I was like, you got to have the Addams Family barcade working at all times.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's a classic pinball machine. It's everyone's favorite one. That's it. So barcades are overrated.
Right, because they've got too many games on their hands to like keep track of the really good pinball
also,
games.
Also, all I actually want is a barcade full of Area 51.
Oh my God,
like,
yes.
That's
the midway shooting game?
Yeah, that's the only game that I actually want to play at a barcade, and it's always taken. There's always a line.
Buck Hunter is my game of choice.
Didn't Zinke, the interior guy, have a Buck Hunter arcade machine installed inside like the offices of the interior?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. I'll check this.
Always thought that I was similar to him. He's sort of my spirit animal.
Yeah. The man behind conservation has a Buck Hunter video game, I think, in the arcade.
But in my 20s, I lived above a bar called the Village Tavern in New York City, and there was a Buck Hunter there. And Eli Manning came in one time, and we destroyed him in Buck Hunter.
Hell yeah.
The thing that I always said about Eli Manning is he didn't have a smooth cock. Like the cock is just not a smooth enough cock. You have to have a smooth cock when you're cocking the gun and Big Buck Hunter.
But yeah, I just confirmed Zinke did the Minister of the Interior, he did put a Big Buck Hunter in the cafeteria.
My man.
But also, I just have one thing I want to say about Area 51. I would rage out. There's a bonus box that, like, when you're driving through the airport in that first level, if you look up towards the tower, there was a box you could hit to get the machine gun. If I missed that, I would rage out every time. Because when you get it, you're just mowing down these fucking zombie alien dudes. Anyway.
It's the best.
It's for the real nerds out there.
You guys, Mike Pence fucking hates Mulan.
Which segue.
Wait, were we not talking about that?
Yeah, no.
No, we can get that.
But he hates Mulan?
Yeah, he hates Mulan. He apparently, back in before he was vice president, he was a blogger. And one of the things that he blogged about was how much he hated Mulan, how the moral of the story was that women in military is a bad idea. For people who don't know Mulan, it's the story of a warrior princess, essentially, who like goes undercover and becomes a, like kind of sneaks her way into being a great warrior. And that offended Mike Pence's conservative sensibilities.
Oh, because she's afraid her ailing father will be drafted into the Chinese military. So she like impersonates a man and takes his place.
Oh, so she goes as tribute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a way.
This is from his review. Moral of the story, women in military, bad idea. I suspect that some mischievous liberal at Disney assumes that Mulan's story will cause a quiet change in the next generation's attitude toward women in combat, and they just might be right. Housing in close quarters, young men and women, in some cases married to non-military personnel. He's always coming back to like how nervous he is that like women are just going to like jump on his dick when right. his wife isn't around. So he's worried about young men and women, some married to non-military personnel, at the height of their physical and sexual potential is the high of stupidity. I think he meant height.
Yeah.
It is instructive that even in the Disney film, young Ms. Mulan falls in love with her superior officer! Exclamation point. Mike Pence just like needs a very regular masturbation regimen because this dude is just so fucking tightly wound. It's
can you just like feel him just sitting on his keyboard, just
vibrating,
typing it out? Oh, the women everywhere! But he heard them up and put them away, except for mother.
But he also kind of like he lives in that fantasy world like single men do, where they're like, "Yo, like we're gonna go to the club and we're gonna fuck."
Right.
And it never happens. Just like he's like, man, don't get me in a room with some women alone because it's going to be crazy. That's why my mother has to come with me. It's like, dude, I don't think that's
you do
real.
Such a good impression of Mike Pence's inner monologue.
I felt like he was here
that would be
for
amazing.
A second.
Thank
that's
you so much.
Mike,
in his side, yeah.
The he's voice like, in Mike Pence.
Shut up, Daryl.
It's like, Mr. Vice President is in the house.
Yeah. Yes, Mulan has been in the news a lot lately.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because of Mike Pence's rage, and then other people who are mad, Rick and Morty fans are just furious that the Szechuan sauce that was brought back by McDonald's, there wasn't enough of it, apparently, at a couple locations. First of all, this was just a like reference to what was intended to be a random and like obscure pop culture reference in the show. And it has been completely ruined.
Wait, so I you know, forgive me, internet, for not watching Rick and Morty. What?
Ooh,
explain.
What's your IQ?
Yeah, you must not be very
smart. Wait, what the fuck does that have to do with it? It's a fucking cartoon.
So Rick and Morty is,
I mean, I know what it is, but I mean like, oh man, fuck, I'm ignorant as fuck, y'all.
It's a show. It takes place in a bunch of different multiverses. I know that probably doesn't make sense to you as a non-Rick and Morty viewer.
You're just not going to get it.
No, so it's a moderately smart, very, very funny cartoon, I guess you would call it. But its fans are like so obnoxious. They are like the new like Mensa members.
Like, look how smart I am.
Yeah,
I'm
look
Mensa.
How smart. I saw a dude the other day on a plane doing Mensa Sudoku. I was just like, yo, man, like that is
deodorant makes you dumb, guys. Living not in your mom's basement makes you dumber. You got to live subterranean. You got to stink all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
But in the show,
Rick, who's like the mad scientist, reveals in the first episode of this season that everything he's doing is secretly for this Szechuan sauce that McDonald's like had for a brief moment.
As a promo for Mulan,
yeah.
Okay, so, oh, and then, right, okay, now it's...
So then McDonald's was like, hey, we're hip, we're in on this thing, kids, we'll bring it back. And then the kids showed up in force. So Rick and Morty fans, another thing you should know about them is that they have been bombarding the creators of Rick and Morty, Dan Harmon, and the other guy whose name I'm drawing a blank on, who I follow on Twitter, about the fact that they have incorporated women writers into the writing staff, and like they're mad about that.
Yeah.
And they're like, come on, man, they can't get this like STEM science stuff that we're so good at.
Yeah, man. Our man brains are so much better at it.
Right.
Yeah.
So just a bad group of people who are completely ruining what is a really awesome show. And they're also ruining I guess Szechuan sauce.
Well, and it's like just enjoy something. You don't need to take it to the. You don't have to like murder everything that you love.
Yeah, getting mad at the shit you love every time. It's like, God damn it, I love this shit, except if it weren't for these women writers who make it funnier. Because I think you were saying too, and a lot of guests have said that this season has been the funniest one.
I think
of
it's
all
the best season so far. Yeah, mm-hmm. And yeah, who knew?
Interesting.
I wonder if that's causation. Yeah. I don't know.
Diversity of thought. That's interesting.
They did a study about that. So they had diverse groups and non-diverse groups, and the diverse groups actually were better at solving problems and like coming up with the right answer on really complex problems. Non-diverse groups were obviously worse at it, but they thought they were better because they were like more confident because they were all, you know, similar and like giving each other positive feedback, and it was just easier.
Yeah.
So yeah, diversity works. It just is hard.
Yeah.
Fucking ain't
diversity,
right.
Let them know.
Yeah, no, makes sense.
So, I mean, obviously, the Weinstein story is continuing to evolve. Harvey Weinstein, horrible human monster, sexual predator. Ronan Farrow, who is obviously Woody Allen and Mia Farrow's son, who is sort of like an avenger of, he's like a superhero avenging sexual abuse. He talked about how Woody Allen, his father, abused his sister, and now he put together this huge piece of really in-depth reporting that he released yesterday in The New Yorker about Harvey Weinstein just being basically a serial rapist. But we are going to talk about that in depth in a later episode. We feel like that story's developing. But for now, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about this guy, Donald Trump. Apparently, he is the president of the United States.
What?
And he has a lot of shady financial dealings. We actually haven't talked about Trump. I'm proud of us that
I
we haven't like talked about Trump nonstop since we launched this show.
Eventually, we would break, though. Eventually, we would have to acknowledge the real world.
You can't avoid it.
We will talk about that when we get back. And we're back. So Bob Corker, who is a Tennessee Republican who has announced that he's no longer going to run for Senate and is therefore just completely out of fucks to give, has now come out and said, yeah, anything that I said to normalize Trump was a mistake, even though that was just a few months ago. He's now saying, like, we're clearly on the path to World War III. And he also said that the White House has become an adult daycare center, which seems like a, you know, fun way of calling Trump a baby. But when you actually look at it, and Politico did, they kind of did a deep dive with, you know, sources inside the White House. It turns out he wasn't really exaggerating. Like, the tactics that they use to kind of keep him on track are tactics that you use with toddlers and with babies.
Of like, hey, look at the shiny thing over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They just shake keys over their head. No,
just like blowing on his belly a little bit. Just like, oh, baby, giving him raspberries.
Take the football away. Take the football away.
No,
covering his eyes.
One of the things they literally say is when he has a bad idea that he's like kind of obsessing over, they just say, we'll talk about it next week, instead of saying no to him. They're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, next week, buddy. Next week, we'll go to the park. You know,
wow,
yeah, man. They will try and get him to like an idea by convincing him that the good idea was his, like that.
I like that Inception type shit,
yeah. Right? Yeah. Which I think anybody who's also had like a bad boss, Miles, don't say shit, has done that before, but it is still like very. I don't know, like compared to when you hear the guys at like Crooked Media talk about their time inside the Obama White House, there's just like this enormous respect for him. Like, he's this gravitational figure where like, and like with Trump, it's just like, yeah, we gotta convince him that all these ideas are his.
It's President Diaper Boy.
Right. President Diaper Boy.
What's funny is like, I've worked for people where like their egos are so big that they actually are susceptible to that tactic where like, you'd be like, no, I feel like you said that last week that we should do something like that. And they're like, oh yeah, 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 I did.
Right.
And then
right.
Like, holy shit, he went for that shit.
It worked.
Yeah. So yeah, like, I guess when you, it makes sense because this dude's ego is so unchecked. Like,
just get him like a giant stamp with Trump on it and let him like walk across the countryside just stamping things.
And give him a bunch of old mail he can't read. So like, right. Just like when I was a kid, like my parents would be like, hey, you want to write on something?
Another detail that, so I had always heard that Ivanka would always pop in during interviews just to like say hi. And I was like, that's not appropriate because I'm the president and I'm talking to the fucking New York Times. But he would always just be like, oh, hey, honey. And excited to see her. And, I had heard that he did that to cleverly like cut interviews off. But in this context, it almost seems more like a, you know, so a caregiver stopping by to like make sure that they're, you know, child or dementia-ridden grandparent is, like, staying on message or, like, that everything's okay. It reminds me of, like, Nanny popping in during Muppet Babies.
Oh, like, for sure. Just, like, let's calm him down. Right. Just remind him where he is.
She must be sweating, though. You know what I mean? If, like, that's kind of, like, her thing. Where, like,
Ivanka's glowing.
Ivanka does not sweat. She glows.
She's glowing about the situation. Yeah. I mean, like... Cause yeah, when you first read about it, I was like, man, like, look how informal this shit is. Like, she's like, hi, daddy, like, checking in. But now, like, if you look at it through the lens of like, she's sort of like, oh fuck. Is he going to like lose it today? Like, sort of thing. Maybe that makes, but I guess it all depends on what side of reality you choose to look at, right?
Well, I don't think they live in such weird, rarefied air that like, I don't think they believe they'll ever get caught for any of this. Like, they've never been challenged in any way.
Right. I mean, even, like a few weeks, like there, that story came out about how they shook like real charges from like the New York DA, like for like misleading investors. So like, they definitely live in a world where they're like, we'll never get
somebody
caught for anything.
Somebody takes care of this. It's fine.
Yeah. The Weinstein story also has him just like shaking off, like a woman went to the NYPD and was like, yo, he like basically tried to rape me, and it like went all the way up and then suddenly it just like disappeared. But yeah, so rich guys seem to have a knack for that. But speaking of him like kind of melting down, it does seem like he's been sort of flailing more than usual, like just sort of, I guess, tilting at windmills or, you know, blowing up at everything, like any perceived slight.
Whether it's Tillerson calling him a moron, he's like, well, we should check our IQs then.
Right.
Like, yeah, let's compare IQs, then we'll know.
Please webcast that shit. Yeah. I want to see those tests being taken live.
Chavo Trap House was talking about like how he's just purely literal. And like when they talked about transparency in the wall, he was like, yeah, we have to have a see-through wall. And someone talked about how... Or Bush talked about how you can't hide in when you're in the Oval Office, you can't hide from like anything because of the media scrutiny. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, there's no corners to hide in.
Yeah, everything is so super literal.
Yeah, just super literal.
Crazy.
I think that he tends to be like flailing more as the Russia investigation seems to be ramping up.
Well, he's never not had control or the artifice of control over everything in his life.
Right.
And it's making him more and more mad because now he realizes how little he can actually do.
Right. Like he can't get shit done legislatively. Like he's like he can't do anything but to go through and experience this probe. There's nothing. Yeah.
He can't pay off Mueller. There's no way. He just can't do any. His whole trick bag is doesn't work when you're the president.
Right. And I mean, it's also effective because it keeps us like focused on, you know, his fucking IQ test and dick measuring contest with like one of his three babysitters.
Yep.
dick measuring contest with your babysitter sounds fucked up.
What? Yeah, that never happened to you?
No. Actually, they were all women.
Yeah, no, me neither. I didn't realize how shady Trump's finances were until like all these different journalistic institutions started looking into it. But basically, after, you know, the 80s and 90s when he had, like, gone bankrupt, like, so many times and had...
Like, six times in a row or some shit.
Had managed to, like, bankrupt a casino, which is, like, just free money. Like, a building where people come in and literally just hand you money.
Yeah, the games are set up for people to fucking lose.
Right.
And you still can't run that shit.
So, after being, like, a famously failed business person, Trump found himself unable to get loans from American banks.
Because he has no fucking credit. Like, he's got the worst fucking credit in the country, basically.
So at that point, he apparently started going and getting loans from other countries. And it's like pretty shady people who are like involved in these shell companies that are like moving money around in like really shady ways. So Trump's son-in-law, Ivanka's husband, Jared Kushner, has a similar problem, similar-ish
very
problem.
Similar problem.
Yeah. Yep. He,
well, you just marry your dad. You know, like women are always just looking for their dad.
Right.
Right. He's like, oh, are you a terrible business person too? Yeah. You're drowning in debt? Ooh.
Ooh, I love
or
it.
Or about to drown in debt.
Right. So apparently, like, immediately before the real estate market crashed in 2007.
Yeah.
Jared Kushner put down $50 million to buy this building, which amazingly, and once again proving that we're living in a high school creative writing class short story, the building that he bought is 666 Fifth Avenue.
Oof.
But so he and his family bought the building for $1.8 billion in 2007, which is the most ever paid for a building in Manhattan. And it was like right before the financial crisis hit. He put down $50 million of his own dollars and then borrowed the rest. So mm-hmm. borrowed a shitload of money and then immediately was like underwater on yeah. the building. And so apparently he hasn't even been able to like keep up with the debt payments on the loan. And so basically he hasn't paid a cent towards paying back this $1.2 billion mortgage. And it comes due February of 2019.
Ooh.
And he like doesn't have any way of paying it back. Like,
yeah. Cause I'd like the building is just totally fucked up and like
old.
Not desirable in any way. Right.
So, yeah. So they bought a bad building was the first problem. It was like built in the 50s. The like ceilings are all low.
Floor
like,
plans outdated.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a building from Mad Men. And in fact, in one shot, you can see it across the street from Don Draper's office in Mad Men. But,
oh, like quite literally.
Yeah. You can yeah. literally see it. But like there's this scene in Mad Men where Peggy is like having a drop ceiling put in on her like high ceiling department. And it's like, yeah, that was the style back then. And like,
yeah.
Yeah, people are just like fucking their apartments up. But apparently this was built at that time when like drop ceilings and low ceilings were cool. Now that's like the opposite of what you want. And so it's just like a fucking mess of a building. So he can't really sell spaces to anybody. He has this plan to turn it into big fancy condos, mm-hmm. but it would require crazy amounts of money
to even get yeah. those renovations started,
right. which he doesn't have.
Dude, what the?
Yeah.
And what, he was 26, right, when he bought this building,
right?
Like,
yeah.
yo, what
Man.
The fuck are you doing? 26 years old, buying a $1.8 billion thing, and then knowing you got to borrow more to even make that shit a viable investment,
right?
Where's your family?
She really did marry her father because it's just like yeah. a dude who inherited a real estate empire. And mm-hmm. so the reason any of this is relevant is that people think that Kushner's meetings with like Russian officials and all the shady meetings he's been having were at least partially about business dealings and like mm-hmm. about this debt and trying to basically make cheap money, get cheap money from overseas,
yeah.
Which is something that Trump has done in the past. There's a bunch of financial records that apparently Mueller is like asking for that get into that on Trump's behalf. And Kushner like is in the really shitty position of like now having to do what Trump had done, but like while he's being actively investigated.
Right.
So
and, like,
he really can't do it.
Yeah, he's not a private citizen anymore. You can't hide the way you used to.
Yeah, right? You are part of the presidential administration
yeah.
now. And you're like, so, yeah, I mean, like, when you can't go to banks, like, okay, so what's next? Shady, like, dark money from Eastern Europe?
Yeah, just,
right.
like, the biggest cash for gold that you can find.
Right.
That's what he's going for. Can you imagine how much red string Robert Mueller has?
Oh, my God.
just miles and miles yeah. of red string connecting.
Oh, my God. What is yeah. happening in those offices?
So, Trump's biographer, this guy, Timothy L. O'Brien, no relation, mm-hmm. Was speculating that Kushner was probably looking for help from the Russians to keep the building like viable, and that he also might be like jockeying for Chinese and Russian financiers. So it's basically a like really shady position for anyone just remotely associated with the White House and decisions being made by the president to actually be in.
Yeah, I mean, he is sweating too. Like, I mean, yeah, like normal 26-year-olds are like, fuck, I gotta make rent or something. You could like hop in, you could throw the Uber app on.
Right.
And like maybe make a quick like $200. Yeah, this motherfucker got like, he's like, I got a $1.2 billion bill due on February 2019.
Oh, man.
What did I do?
Like, so much Postmates.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, so you much. Can't, yeah, he would have to do like, he would have to multiply himself by 700 to do that many Ubers. But it's crazy to think like, cause yeah, he's gone out to a lot of like Russian bankers. Like it seems like all the meetings mm-hmm. that they've tried to connect Kushner with have been with people who are either heads of banks or tangentially connected to huge banks.
Yeah.
And then at one point there was a rumor that a Chinese company was going to invest in it. And then there's another story. I mean, it's not that they're directly connected, but they were saying that he was in talks with like the richest man in Qatar to invest like $500 million into the building. And the guy, this wealthy dude was like, okay, I'll put down $500 million. Let's see if you can get someone else to like come to the table and then we can do something. So that's when he found like this Chinese investment company who has like mm-hmm. a lot of ties like to the political elite there.
Yeah.
And when that story came out there, this Chinese bank was like, no, we're actually not doing business with them because it was perceived as like a huge conflict of interest. So like, are you just investing in this to like have access to the White House? And like, mm-hmm. nope, we never had a deal. It's never going to be a deal. And then that basically tanked his deal with the wealthy man from Qatar.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a few days later, Trump's now like coming after Qatar, you know, because the Trumps and, you know, they know how to get past a grudge.
Right. Oh,
like,
yeah.
So I think, yes, finances are not the strong suit over there.
No. Well, and it's funny because it shows like why they have no empathy for anybody struggling with student loans, because they're like, well, why can't you just find a shady billionaire in another country?
Right.
Run for president.
Right.
And win and become, you know, that's how you get your loans paid.
Right.
Come on, guys. Jeez. Figure it out.
It's that easy.
Yeah,
it's just that easy.
Stupid ass over here wanted to learn about literature.
Yeah, so maybe we'll keep watching this disaster of a scenario unfold for Jared Kushner. He really feels like the guy who's in over his head with like mob loans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And like is just like, oh, I don't know what to do.
I really think Trump should just like appoint John Taffer from Bar Rescue to his administration and he might be able to fix this for
you
him.
You idiot.
Yeah.
Let's you borrowed $1 billion you couldn't pay back.
God. Yeah. We elected the wrong reality star.
Yeah, right.
We really did.
All right. We'll be right back after this. All right. We're back. Yeah.
Before we go, I'm just thinking about him in 2019 because, like, it looks like he's having a lot, like, a real hard time finding this money. Like, do you think he'll just tell, like, the creditors, like, I'm sorry, I didn't know I needed all that money. I don't have enough money.
That's Miles' move every time he's, like, at a
restaurant. Yep.
And the bill comes, he just goes,
I didn't bring enough money. And eventually they'll just think you're so pitiful. They'll be like, all right, just do these dishes. And that's how you eat at Matsuhisa.
Every day for Jared is a Flaming Hot Cheetos and Black Coffee Day.
Exactly, right.
All right. I wanted to move on real quickly to a story that is kind of always in the headlines somewhere on the internet. The Florida man story, the entire genre of Florida man stories.
Florida man.
You might recognize them from the Florida man who shot himself in the dick, or the Florida man who punched a swan.
Even if you just right now look at top news and you just look at Florida man sets himself on fire after losing Cowboys Packers bet to his wife.
Yeah. There you go.
So,
I mean, still doing it.
Yeah.
Still got it.
Still going strong.
You said you'd set yourself on fire. Yeah. You said it.
Damn it, I know, Karen. Get my kerosene.
So I've always wondered why the fuck Florida is so much weirder than the rest of the country.
Because it's so fucked up.
Right. Well, so it is the third most populous state in the United States. So there are a lot of people to choose from. It also is in the South, and it's got like a really interesting collection of different cultures and, mm-hmm. you know, a crazy mix of different types of people. But the reason that the Florida man section reads like Dave Barry's Breaking Bad is because Florida is the only state in the United States that has open record laws, where it's called the Government in the Sunshine Act. And it's basically every meeting that happens in Florida between the government, like you have to have a record of everything that was said in that meeting. Mm-hmm. And that also applies for arrest records, that police have to make arrest records public. So
you're just saying it's just their wokeness of being the most transparent state.
Yeah,
that leads us.
Exactly.
Damn it.
So
oh, man.
We should
be admiring Florida because they're actually the most progressive state. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the reason that we have so much detail on, like, that's basically all it is that Florida is the only state where we get to see in detail how fucked up,
right,
like, Americans just in general are, like, how the fucked up shit that is, like, going on behind the crime blotter in your town is just as crazy as the Florida man shit. It's just that the arrest records are not, like, made public to everybody. And Florida is the only state where that is true. So you can just, like, sit there and read arrest report after arrest report and
just find,
you know,
the best ones and
right.
be like, this
wow.
is my blog.
Yeah.
It, like, that really, you just red-pilled me right there.
Yeah.
Right.
I was just, in my mind, I was like, it's because Florida's fucking crazy. And then it's like, oh, it's because everything is transparent.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And everything is fucking crazy is
but I guess,
how
yeah.
I like to think about it.
I bet New York would have some crazy ones.
Yeah.
Fucking California, man. Even the fuck, like, Sylmar, like,
sure.
near where I used to grow up, there's all kinds of weird shit
Dude,
going
I've
on.
I've seen crazy shit, like, that's right, Florida right, man-esque right. happen yeah. in New York and LA.
Just, like, Los Angeles Spider-Man. Just them alone. The people that dress up like Spider-Man outside of Hollywood and Highland, just their crimes alone.
Right, right, right.
Would be up there.
Yeah, and, like, the Times Square characters, too,
yeah.
I'm sure. They're all getting into some shit.
Man.
I also do think there's a bias at work in the Florida man thing in that poor, you know, white people are the last type of person who in mainstream culture it is okay to just openly shit on and make fun of.
Right,
and,
without being controversial.
Sure.
Right, without being controversial. So, yeah, that's another reason that we like to make them the protagonist of our screwball comedies in the news.
Yeah. Well, it makes us all feel better that we're not Florida. But,
right.
we
but then
actually
also
are.
Been, there are so many documentaries about Florida that are just, like, mind-blowing. Like, mm-hmm. Vernon, Florida is an amazing one.
Yeah.
And then also check out Mule Skinner Blues. That's another mm-hmm. insane one about this guy who's trying to make a horror film in his trailer park. And it's, like, it's legit. But it's amazing.
I mean,
I'm not saying Florida is not a place where, like, weird
stuff
happens.
I'm not saying,
yeah.
but yeah, but I feel like, yeah, it's interesting, but I guess it is, you know what? I think we need an open call to all the states to start making these records transparent. Cause you know what? Now I'm having some California pride. We could be the real fucking weirdest state
in
the
exactly.
union.
And I mean, hey man, we all voted for Trump. Like, we're all Florida now.
Right. Exactly.
Like, the whole country is.
Oh, you voted for Trump?
Oh God, no. No. I mean, like, as the country did.
Oh, okay.
The country did.
I thought that was your way of, like, being
no, not us
hey, you know, we all voted for Trump,
no,
right?
We all voted for Trump in this room.
No, yeah, you guys. Yeah. No, not individually, but as a country. We did.
Right.
So we're all Florida. We've lost the ability to think that we're
true.
Better than Florida.
To shade
now.
Other people. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
The whole country is a Michael Jordan crying face.
Yeah, truly.
So you guys, I want to give a quick update to a story that we talked about on, I think it was episode 1, about the sonic attack on U.S. diplomats in Cuba. I have an update. First of all, there's this Moscow signal thing that a lot of the people who believe the attacks on the diplomats are real have brought up, because apparently in the 60s and 70s in the U.S. Embassy in Moscow, they were targeted by microwaves. They just, like, suddenly found that microwaves were, like, coming in to the embassy.
Like they were throwing them at them?
Right. Basically, yeah.
Like microwaves?
Microwave ovens. They were throwing microwave ovens. No, they were firing microwaves at them.
Oh, okay.
A study in the 70s, like, looked into how this was affecting them, because nobody really knew what microwaves did other than cook popcorn badly. So the group that was hit with these symptoms had been reporting that they were experiencing depression, irritability, difficulty in concentrating, and memory loss, which are also symptoms that have been mentioned in Cuba. But when they did a study, so they found that those symptoms were actually more common in the Moscow embassy than other U.S. embassies. But when they actually broke it out, the symptoms were more common in people who hadn't been exposed to the microwaves.
Oh, weird.
So it was just them kind of feeling like, okay, something's going on. And also, I feel like embassies, I've not worked in an embassy, but it seems like it might be one of those environments where there's a lot of stress, closely linked people and their cycles sync up, so to speak.
Right.
For sure.
And another detail that is making me further think that we're dealing with a sort of mass panic psychosomatic deal is that after the U.S. government pulled the diplomats and started warning people that this was going on, tourists traveling to Cuba have started reporting the same symptoms of hearing loss, and headaches, and
it's like the same shit of like when like those Magic Eye posters were out, and they're like, "Oh man, I see the dragon you see," and I'm like, "Yeah, I see it too." Like, you just don't, you want to be in on the thing, so
right?
Like, yeah, I'm getting those headaches too.
But it is such a the symptoms are so diffuse and vague that it's possible to feel them. And for it not to be being caused by some secret microwave laser weapon.
I always just assume everyone's dehydrated.
Right. Right. We're all dehydrated. You know?
Especially on vacation. Last thing you're drinking is water. You're like drinking booze every chance. Right.
Exactly.
We're all sleep deprived. We're all
so I'm pretty sure it's
older.
Also that. Right. What's really going on over there.
That's my favorite explanation is one of the people who actually believes that it might be like a case of mass hysteria was like, yeah, those are all symptoms that come with getting older, and like literally every one of us is living a day where we're the oldest we've ever been, and so we have more symptoms of old age than we've ever had before. Like hearing loss is something like I suffer permanent hearing loss in that my hearing will never be as good as it was yesterday.
Yeah. Right.
Except for Peter Thiel, or maybe not.
Right. Ooh. Peter Thiel blood. Injecting the blood of young children. All right. We're going to try a new segment where we go out on stories that are warming our hearts. And Brandy, let's start with you.
Yeah. So do you guys know about the Chicago Mothman sightings that have been happening over the summer into the fall?
No.
Okay. So there's just been 29 Chicago Mothman sightings, and it's all over Chicago, South Chicago, North Chicago, East, West, over by Lakeshore, over like up in Evanston. And Chicago is like a no nonsense city where it's like marketers have a hard time doing stuff there because people are always like, I got to get to work. Get out of my way.
Right.
So for them to be making up Mothman sightings all over the city is like, oh, maybe this is real. Who knows? But people have been trying to get photos. The closest one that they've got is like this one. This is like it's a very vague picture, like kind of a, probably just a drone. What I think it is
it looks like a kite.
Right. Yeah. It looks like a kite or a stingray or a guy in one of those wing suits. Could be anything. Or it could be a Mothman.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it's a Mothman. I mean, I just feel like we got Jared's like 666 building. Like this, all of the signs of the apocalypse are coming together. So at this point, why wouldn't there be a Mothman?
Yeah, in the Book of Revelation, a Mothman shall appear in the city of Chicago.
The Book of Revelations, turns out it wasn't subtle.
Yeah.
It just all came about like all at once.
Like, so here's a description from one of the sightings. Suddenly, the large winged being slowly descended in front of them, no more than 25 feet away. It hovered about 5 feet above the sidewalk with its wings spread open as it appeared at the couple with large bright red eyes that slowly altered back and forth in intensity. Several people on the other side of the street, including a delivery van driver, reacted with screams and frightened yelps. The winged being hovered for about 10 seconds, then quickly pulled in the wings into its body and shot quickly into the night sky.
So I've seen that actually. Yeah,
I mean,
Mothman.
Oh,
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Mothman.
Yeah,
that is fucking crazy.
Yeah,
man.
There's a bunch of them.
So let's keep an eye out for that.
Mothman,
that's awesome.
If you live in Chicago and you see the Mothman, tell someone about Mothman.
about Mothman.
Exactly. Miles, what's warming your heart right now?
You know, the story that's warming my heart right now is finding out that Frankie Muniz can't remember that he was on Malcolm in the Middle.
That was mine!
Oh, was?
That's my favorite, though. I do fucking love this story.
Great minds, great minds. But it came out that, like, on Dancing with the Stars, he was saying he's had, like, 9 concussions and, like, he's having mini strokes and can't remember shit from, like, being on Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to warm your heart, but it's just so Frankie Muniz, who played Malcolm in the Middle, is such an interesting whack job. Like there's his Twitter feed at one point was just overtaken. This was back in 2010. It's just overtaken with his like hunt of scorpions. He was just like one day he was like tired of all these scorpions. Then he was like, my pest guy lives with me, basically. We have scorpions, bad. And then just like nonstop talking about scorpions. I get so much joy from murdering scorpions. Oh, trespass man. Onto my property.
Uh-oh.
Die by shoe smash. Like he's just.
Oh my God. Do you think he remembers this? I wonder if he remembers the scorpion.
Or is like, is scorpion like code for something else?
Yeah.
It's like a racist tirade he was really trying to do. Like at scorpion, point, wink, wink, wink.
At one point he said his mouth was getting numb because he put a scorpion in his mouth and tried to chew it.
Okay. So maybe that's what's going on with Frankie.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like,
he's poisoned himself.
I get this vibe of like Hunter S. Thompson style debauchery, like going on in Frankie Muniz's like weird Malcolm in the Middle mansion.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's a thing he said in an interview. He said, since 2006, I've broken 38 bones and I've had 9 concussions since the age of 7. So like, does this dude have like CTE or something too?
I don't know. For sure has CTE at this point. If he's 9
concussions
gone through that
is,
much,
is
yeah.
intense too. And he's had mini strokes. And he also said he hasn't gone to the doctor to like talk about his memory loss. So anyway.
Oh, boy.
I choose to believe he was just fucked up the whole time.
Yeah.
That's the way the story would
He's
warm
just
my heart.
He's sand out. He can't remember shit.
Man. All right.
Well, on that note.
On that note, Brandy, where can our audience find you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Brandazzle, Brandazzle.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. And I have a podcast called Lady to Lady. It's me and two other female comics, usually with a fourth guest, just kind of riffing and hanging out. And then I have an album on iTunes and all the places you buy albums called Opinion Cave. I'm a stand-up and then my touring dates are at
brandyposey.com. You're a very funny stand-up.
Oh, thank you.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me in the bathroom right now. Gotta go.
You can follow the Daily Zeitgeist at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. There is a Facebook group called The Daily Zeitgeist. I am at Jack_O'Brien, O-B-R-I-E-N. And we are going to eventually be publishing footnotes, which are basically just going to be our notes for the shows with links to the stories so that people can follow along at home or, check our sources and read the articles we've been reading. We're working on that. Those will eventually be up on our website. And I, at that point, once it's up and live, I will start pronouncing footnotes like an asshole. until then, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye.